Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we have a specially extended episode from the Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Let's start on Friday with the launch party in Leah's Yard. In a moment, you'll hear festival co-founders, broadcaster Alice Levine and CEO and founder of the podcasting company Persephonica, Dino Sofas. But first, welcoming everyone to the city was the third founder of Crossed Wires, James O'Hara.
Welcome to Sheffield. Welcome to year two of Crossed Wires. Cheer after every sentence, otherwise we're going to be a while. Crossed Wires began last year and was a leap of faith for a lot of people. We knew it was, but we knew we wanted to do it in a city that we really cared about, and what's come back from the city has been incredible. And to see the impact it's had this year is beautiful. I think last year we did it in Bethel, the Fringe in Bethel, which felt great. This year we're still in our kind of big iconic venues, the Crucible, the City Hall. But for me personally, taking over Cold Brothers is really important. Now, my mum worked in Cold Brothers Cafe for 15 years, and my mum's no longer with us. But seeing that building be transformed this weekend, and already every show's been packed, and having the BBC Sounds team come up and help us transform what is essentially an empty department store into somewhere where people can listen to people talking is amazing. And my mum loved a natter, so I think she would have appreciated it. And I'm now going to pass across to the much more charming Alice Levine.
I mean, you basically said that Sheffield is the best city in the world. And for that reason, people have flown in from Frankfurt, the Netherlands, and the USA to be at this festival, which is absolutely incredible, because our ambition is for this to not just be a national festival, but to be an international festival. We want this to grow and to grow. We have really sensed the buzz this year. I mean, last year there was a lot of intrigue, and this year there feels like there's a lot of excitement. I don't know if anybody heard in the hallowed 8 a.m. slot on the Today programme this morning, we had our bit with Jarvis, who was doing the shipping forecast for the centenary, and to have that on the Today programme when we might be going through a government reshuffle feels like we are really setting the agenda, so you're welcome. Cutting edge news here. Our lineup is absolutely amazing, even if we do say so ourselves this weekend. Just to name some of the things that are on today that we're so hyped about: Angela Hartnett and Nick Grimshaw doing Dish, Michael Palin, who's very kindly here having a little drink with Greg James, they're about to go on stage at the City Hall. We've got some really brilliant stuff across politics, sport, food, comedy. We've got everything covered. I think the sense this year is that people are wanting to get involved. People are wanting to spread the word for us, whereas last year we were kind of having to say what a podcast festival was, and this year people are saying, when's the next one? So maybe we'll have to do them. But no, it's fine. We'll do it annually. And there's loads of people to thank, like James said, but also all of you, because we couldn't do it unless everybody turned out for it and really got behind it. And as somebody who's not from Sheffield but is an honorary Sheffielder, it really feels like everybody's wishing as well. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Alice.
The Pulp singer Jarvis Cocker has recorded a special version of the shipping forecast to mark the centenary of its debut on BBC Radio. His reading will be played at a podcast festival in Sheffield, which is hosting a show featuring Radio 4 announcers to celebrate today's anniversary.
Viking, north at Sierra, south at Sierra, southeast, veering west or northwest, 4 to 6. The shipping forecast is something you absorb unconsciously if you live in the UK. It's a weather guide, but it helps people navigate in other ways than that. For insomniacs, it's a mantra that hopefully helps them drift off to sleep.
The singer's full recording of the forecast can be heard this afternoon at the Crossed Wires Festival in Sheffield.
People from Barnsley, from Sheffield, from Rotherham, they don't necessarily get those opportunities because the media isn't here unless we bring it here, which is one of the reasons I wanted to start Persephonica and bring it to Sheffield. You can't be what you can't see. And if you don't have Greg wandering around in Sheffield and you don't have a production company like Persephonica producing, you know, I'll brag a bit, but some of the UK's biggest podcasts, and we can employ people in the city in a place that they study and want to stay and work rather than having to go to London or somewhere else, that's really, really crucial to diversifying the industry that we're in. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to the BBC, who've really invested a lot in this year's festival, have come up in a big, big way. They've taken over, they've taken a massive leap of faith in taking over a department store with us. We pitched the idea to them and they probably thought we were a bit mad, but they're here and it's been packed today. On a Friday lunchtime, seeing 400 people watching the shipping forecast, getting really, really invested. And yeah, they're going to be here all weekend, and that's just so great. And to Audible, who are partnering with us on the City Hall, thank you. And Apple, who put us on the front page of their Apple Podcasts app today, just like small things like that mean so much to us. We can't do this without you. We want you to come back next year. I also want to say thank you to Oliver, the Mayor of South Yorkshire, who... we sat down and had a pint with him a couple of years ago now.
In Fergus.
And we pitched this idea to him and he straight away said, yes, it sounds great. We couldn't have done it without him and South Yorkshire Mayoral Combined Authority and their funding. So thank you.
We're at the Crosswires Festival. It's Friday night. This is like the VIP drinks and everything. I don't think my name was on the list, Steph, but I got in on your coattails, basically.
Bless you. Well, I've just got really excited because I've seen a python.
Yes, there is.
An actual python. Actual Michael Palin, who hails from Sheffield, is literally feet away from us. And as a comedy nerd, to be just be in the presence of a python is quite wow. You're right, your mates are John Cleese.
Well, that's true. But I am a bit excited because he's over there and he's in conversation with Greg James in a minute because he's literally the only person in the world who doesn't have a podcast.
But I love the story, the fact that there is a photo of Greg and Michael Palin when Greg was like 12 years old or something, signing a book, and I love that. It's just like... it's always been in the stars that this was that they were about to sit together and be interviewed at this festival.
Well, I guess it's testament to you always saying yes to an adventure, really, and you would just follow what felt right to you, and then these things have a way of working themselves out.
Yeah.
That served you quite well in life.
That's true, and it's got to be something, I feel it's got to be something that really engages me, kind of mentally and physically in a way. You know, it's like... I suppose that's why I ended up doing the travel shows, because we could have gone on and done films. I made a lot of films at that time, but that was basically learning the lines, turning up, being filmed. Whereas going off around the world, I mean, who gets to do that?
But it's what you wanted to do as a child, but you didn't.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It sort of came round. But I mean, for me, something which I could really get physically stuck into would be difficult and would be a challenge. Ever since then, I've thought, however difficult things might be, the more difficult they are, the more you should have a go at them. You know, all you have to fear is fear itself, as they say and all that. But,
You say that Helen told you what you weren't good at, but she obviously thought you were good at doing those travel shows, but also she'd be conflicted because you'd be away for quite a lot of the time.
No, she wasn't conflicted, she was a great idea. She's giving me maps and atlases for Christmas. That page 54, Gobi Desert. Have you been there? Yeah, I think you should go there. I know what the Gobi Desert's like.
Well, we just had a chat with Greg. There'll be lots of clanging of names this weekend. But he said that it was lovely to be able to interview one of his heroes. And that is a great privilege of radio and broadcasting, isn't it?
Getting to meet your heroes. So if you're thinking about getting a job in the world of audio, get one, because you can tick a few personal boxes by meeting your heroes. It's a real privilege to be able to work in this industry.
You were part of a Radio Academy panel this morning. Tell us a bit more about that, because we did some speed networking and then there was this panel.
So Ellie is with us now from Persephonica, who is currently just finishing some of the fantastic nibbles.
We're letting her chew while we talk.
Well, there's always fun. Crosswires Festival last year delivered amazing food.
Yes.
And yet again this year they have delivered, in fact, wine has arrived as well. This is all good. But we did a session this morning and it was just talking about the future and also what we expect at the festival, which I'll let Ellie pick up here about what the festival is all about.
Ellie, we are actually stood right under your office, up some steps there. It says Persephonica, Ellie Clifford. Tell us what Crosswires is all about.
I just think it's an amazing opportunity to get people together to really celebrate podcasts, and there are lots of different events I think that happen all over the country. But one thing I really love about this is it's really about connecting the audience with the podcasters as well, and I think you can see from the caliber of people who come to do it that it's really exciting, it's something they want to do. I think a lot of podcasts now, you know, the pathway to live is a really exciting opportunity, and actually to go out and meet the people who are listening to them is just incredible. And to have it, you know, take place in Sheffield outside of London, I think is an amazing thing, and a credit to Dino, Alice, James, everybody who's involved in organising it, Hannah. You know, it takes so much work. Like, Greg James has come on board this year and really helped to give it a rocket boost, and I think you can see that in this courtyard, right? All the amazing people who are here, like the bunting, everything. It's just a really incredible opportunity to really celebrate audio and podcasts and what you can do with them.
Tell me about this panel this morning for the Radio Academy. What were you all discussing?
It was really talking about how we got into the industry, our tips for doing it, what we think the industry is going to look like. And I always really like doing things like that because I'm only where I am in the industry because people open doors for me. And so I'm really passionate about opening the doors for other people. And I think that's what I love about this industry, is that actually it's a really friendly bunch. And if you're sort of brave enough to go and talk to somebody, you know, they're very happy to skills swap. I don't think there's a lot of gatekeeping. People really just love audio and love radio, and often, you know, have some sort of memory of them as a kid thinking about it, and yeah, and really want to celebrate that.
I am here with someone who's come all the way from Cardiff. What's your name, please?
Hello, my name is Jessica Nasekara. I'm development producer at Overcoat Media. We're a speech indie focusing on high quality narrative content based in Wales.
And you came to our Radio Academy session this morning because you're part of the RAMP 2025 cohort.
That's right. So we're graduating towards the end of this month. It's gone so quickly, but it's been fantastic. We've had lots of networking opportunities, like the podcast show. But the most brilliant thing for me has been the mentoring that I've received from Tony Phillips, who has been such a supportive and reflecting presence. And he's been able to kind of really coach me with inside knowledge about working with the US, which is something I'm particularly interested in. For Overcoat Media, I went to New York a couple of weeks ago developing a project, and Tony happened to be there at the same time, and bless him, he checked in on me every day, checked that I was okay with the meetings I was going into and everything. Is amazing, above and beyond.
And the session this morning, the speed networking and then the panel, what's one thing you'll take away from watching that today and taking part in that?
Well, I met so many amazing people in such a short amount of time, and the ambition of the people just starting and coming into the industry was fantastic to see, and the advice that was given about taking the time and the persistence. You know, I think persistence was the key takeaway for the people that were just coming into the industry, was to kind of keep going, make those connections, find out what you're really interested in, what you're passionate about. But it was a great opportunity for me as well to meet lots of amazing people, freelancers, as well as people like Ellie from Persephonica. It was great to connect.
Let's hear now from some more delegates who went along to our Foot in the Door speed networking session that opened the Crosswires Festival on Friday morning.
It's been a great day. It's been so varied in terms of the backgrounds of the people, their ages, their experience, what they're interested in, what they want to do, what they're doing at the minute already. And it's exciting and also pretty scary because, like, I'm worried for my job now.
Amazing to meet people who are from a wide range of backgrounds doing a wide range of projects. But it's also a reminder of how brilliant from the world of podcasting it is that you can have so many different people along a spectrum. And it's like no other media in the world where you can have people who want to make their first episode and go out and do that tomorrow, and people who have been doing it for 10 years and it's their living and their profession. And just seeing that scope and that range reminds me how special podcasting is.
I think I'm slightly biased because I work in radio, but I think it's an incredible industry, and I think that people are passionate about being in the industry, and also they want to develop their careers, and people are really ambitious. And what I found really interesting today was that people had had ideas about podcasts, and instead of being a bit nervous to start them, they've gone straight ahead and just done it. And I think if you're wanting to get into a bit of podcasting, a bit of radio, and you've got no sort of knowledge on how to do it, just start, put your content out there, see what the feedback's like, and you'll be fine. Can't wait to hear you all.
It's been a really great day. It's been so great to hear people's ideas and get talking to people in the industry, and just to really connect with people who are doing the things that I want to be doing. My mind is like soup right now. I've got so many ideas, but the broth is brewing.
So I'm truly right, and I'm here because I wanted to gain more insight into broadcasting. I'm currently doing my undergraduate degree in modern languages and cultures, French and Spanish.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. And I'm going to do the Masters in Broadcast Journalism. Just wanted to see what kind of people would be here today and to have a nice informal chat.
What's been the highlight for you? Who was the person that you really enjoyed too, or what was the most insightful thing you've taken from today?
So there's a lot, actually. I was speaking with one guy who, when I mentioned doing the languages, he said that he's dealing with Spanish media and that he'd be very interested in somebody doing translation for him and that I might fit that role. So I thought that that was obviously a brilliant opportunity, and I'll respond to I'll send him an email. I think generally the advice has been really, really good, especially that about saying yes to every opportunity that comes your way. But I think that's the number one thing of today is, which opportunity arises, take it.
I'm in the BBC Sounds Garden at the Crosswires Festival. It's Saturday morning, and it's fabulous. You get these headphones, and you can listen to, there's Radio 1, you can listen to podcasts, whatever you want to do. I'm in a deck chair that I doubt I'll be able to get back up out of, but at least I didn't sit on a beanbag, because I would have never got up from that. There's a canapé above me. Canapé? No, that's what you eat before you have dinner, isn't it? Canopy. There's a canopy above me. There's a canopy above me. Keeping the sun off, because it's a beautiful day. We're right outside City Hall, between City Hall and the Cole Brothers. Now, the Cole Brothers was the old John Lewis building. Before that, it was Cole Brothers department store here in Sheffield. It's an iconic building, and this is the first time it's being used for any kind of events at all since John Lewis left about 3 or 4 years ago, and it was closed up. There is a massive queue outside for the Sarah Cox Book Club podcast, which is going to be on there very shortly, which I'm going to go into. We've got Frank Skinner later, and it's the buzz around the city with this podcast festival is absolutely incredible. It's so good, and it's so many people here waiting to get into Cole Brothers to go and see the podcasts this morning. It is just the talk of the town. It's fabulous. I'm going to chat to some of the volunteers in a moment and ask them a bit more about these headphones and what you can experience and immerse yourself in here in the BBC Sounds Garden. So I'm here in the BBC Sounds Garden, Saturday morning, beautiful day, and I'm with one of the volunteers, well, lots of the volunteers actually, who are manning this stall. Tell us a bit about it, because I've got some of the headphones here in my hand. What do I do with them?
Well, yeah, so this is the Sounds Garden, and with the headphones, the idea is you're going to sample some of the BBC's excellent output. We've got some of the streams of the Radio 1 and also some samples of BBC podcasts. So, yeah, you can just relax, sit back and sample some BBC output and then hopefully go home and listen to some more.
So this is a great way of getting people interested in podcasts, give them a little bit of a taster, and hopefully they'll find something they like.
Yeah, and you can also get a nice photo behind a BBC microphone as well. What have you listened to so far?
There was a bit of Radio 1, and I could hear Rylan as well, but is that one of the podcasts? Because he's not on till this afternoon, is he live?
Yes, that might be Rylan, How to Be in Love.
Oh, the new podcast, yeah.
Yeah, that's done really well, actually. Some great guests on there. Stephen Fry, that episode in particular, did really well. So yeah, definitely worth listening to.
We've just watched the Radio 2 book club session here at the Cole Brothers. Sarah Cox is with me. That was fascinating, and I've read that book because a friend of mine got it for me in hardback, so I'm ahead of the game.
Which book have you read?
You are here.
Yes, because we talked about so many books.
Well, this is it.
We'll talk about David Nicholls' back catalogue. I mean, the best nugget that we got, I think, was that one day was going to be called St. Swithin's Day was his idea. Yeah. For the original title, till his editor was like, no, David, that's...
And no one
I can spell it.
You are here, which is about a huge walk from St. Bees in Cumbria all over to Yorkshire. That was going to be called Walking and Talking.
Walking and Talking. Yeah, we all vetoed that.
Yeah, we were all, the audience is like, no, it's good. It's good that it's called You Are Here. Yeah. This sounds very live now with the two
in the
background.
They're doing the soundtrack for the Guardian.
Yes, I love
politics one.
I love a hairy bottomed roadie doing a 2-2-2 in the background. But David was fantastic, wasn't he?
He was so good.
And what do you think of the book? Do you love it?
Loved it. Yes. Absolutely loved it. But I loved One Day as
He's so well. Talented, yeah. And hopefully we're going to see You Are Here on the big screen.
Yes,
you
know, he's this
so,
is it.
I think it's going to happen, don't you?
I think it would I think it would make a great
book. Be rude not to. Yeah. But it's exciting to be here at Crosswise. Absolutely loving it. I'm going to pop over and go and see Phil Wang and Pierre Novelli at Bud Pod. Myself and Claire are DJing for Teen Commandments. That's our little podcast, which is growing, which we love doing.
I love it, and I have a teenager, and so it is essential listening.
Now, are you following and you're listening and you're making sure you listen every week?
Yes.
And
yes.
You do know there's no advice to be had on this podcast.
Yes, there is fine. It's okay.
And also, I'm not having good eye contact with you because you know a lot about my personal life as well. Because it's very real, isn't it?
I'm with Paula Edwards from BBC Radio Sheffield, who has been hosting this stage in Cole Brothers today. We've just had Sarah Cox Book Club. We've got politics on the way with The Guardian. Tell me about your involvement with Crosswires, Paula.
So I've been involved from earlier with the talk up, and I was honoured to be asked to be the host of the weekend and just to feel a bit of the love for Cole Brothers, because we all missed it and we were all a bit sad when John Lewis left Sheffield.
Yeah.
And the building's been standing there for a while. So I think a lot of people, I mean, obviously they're here to hear the wonderful podcast and to see some remarkable people. I just feel that more people are realising that you can find your tribe through a podcast. There's a podcast for you with people who listen like you, who you can make contact with. And to be a part of this year, last year it was massive. This year it's even bigger. And I think, you know, the word's getting out, basically. The word is getting out. So I'm honoured to be a part of this.
Tell me about podcasts live, though. I mean, we're watching them as theatre events, and some of them are being recorded, like that book club one, and that's going to be the episode. But tell me about that kind of phenomenon of you going to watch a podcast. It still blows some people's minds, doesn't it?
Of course it does, because it's kind of a new genre almost. Yeah. Podcast is relatively new, a few years old, maybe more than that. But to see people who we listen to intimately, they're on our phones, they're in our ears, they're in our cars with us, to see them, first of all, you feel slightly familiar, you feel like you know them. It's not just someone off the telly or someone off the radio who's remote. They've been in your home with a podcast, which is different. The soul of a podcast is so different, I think, to anything else we've experienced before, and the focus on a particular subject as well. This is your tribe. I love it. And so I think this is the icing on the cake to see people in action, because we all like to see as well, don't we, as here. So yeah, I think it's a great idea. Yeah, it shouldn't work, but it does.
It does. And you've been with BBC Radio Sheffield all for many years now, haven't you? And what is it doing for your city?
It's doing great. Well, look at our city. It's throwing, isn't it? Barker's Pool is throbbing. That's the City Hall. We've had a few events in there. There's been a few events down at the Crucible Theatre, which is not too far from here. I mean, obviously, the sunshine's going to bring people out. But I also think, just to know that there's something special happening in the city. But there's a real sense of, like, a park-like atmosphere. You don't have to have a ticket. You can sit with your headphones on. You can be on your laptop, whatever. Or you can just sit and absorb it. You know, I think one of the things about... I think we're so active now, aren't we? You have to be on your phone, to sit and just absorb something in that environment is a bit of a treat. Yeah, I think Sheffield's come to life this weekend.
Yeah.
For there to be an event that invites you into the city. And on Radio Sheffield, we've all been talking about what's coming up, mentioning the Fringe Festival, which is free. There are evenings as well. You can come along to have a bit of a DJ set. Yeah. That's free. Some of the events, obviously, in the Crosswires, in Crosswires is to be paid for, but some of it's free. And that's nice. So it means whatever circumstances you have, you can come along. We've got parenting ones as well, so you can bring your children.
Yeah, yeah. It's for everyone. everyone, isn't
it? It's for everyone. There's definitely going to be something here that you will enjoy. It's been a joy.
On Saturday afternoon, I went down to Leah's Yard, where there was a festival stage for local podcasts called Loose Lips. There I met Lizzie and Joe from the Sheffield podcast Fully Booked, who were hosting the stage, and I asked them what Loose Lips was all about.
Well, Loose Lips is a phrase they decided to use for part of the branding for the main Crosswires Festival, but when they were coming up with the name for this stage, they just thought, why don't we just call it Loose Lips? Yeah. And I think when we were talking to Dino the other day, who organises the main event, he was like, I think that might be the best named fringe stage at anything he's ever been to. Yeah. So it's been really good. Yeah, yeah, we're just hosting today on Saturday.
Yeah, and mainly the Loose Lips stage is mostly championing local podcasts. So people who might not get the chance to have a show at one of the main stages, they can come here, experience what it's like recording a live podcast. And, you know, people are coming in and out all day, and they're being able to learn about these new podcasts that they might never have heard of before. And we feel very lucky to be able to be part of championing such amazing local podcasts.
So we did our set this morning at 10 o'clock, where we did like a normal Fully Booked podcast episode, and we had our dog on stage with us, and we just spoke about recommendations on places to go if you're just coming to Sheffield for the day. We gave some brunch recommendations if you've come to the city early and you want to grab a quick bite to eat. We did some
drinks.
Unique drinks places, dinner spots, like a quick, like a grab and go dinner spot and a sit down dinner spot. Yeah.
You did an entire pub crawl.
I did a pub crawl to get you back from City Hall to the station.
Yeah,
that's devotion.
Yeah, and what else did we do? We did some hidden gems, places that are like off the beaten track that you don't really, that you wouldn't really know about unless you knew about them. So yeah, that was really nice as well.
Next, I caught the recordings of two episodes of the Frank Skinner podcast, One Person Found This Helpful.
This is One Person Found This Helpful with me, Frank Skinner. Yes, welcome to One Person Found This Helpful, the show where we look at online reviews, all genuine.
Frank, I loved the show this afternoon. What's your best review you've ever been given?
Well, I was once described as a modern-day Theseus walking through the labyrinth to take on the half-man, half-bullshit minotaur of mainstream comedy. I think that was my best
ever. Did David Baddiel say that?
No, he disagreed violently.
We're back in Leah's Yard, and I'm with Hannah. Tell me your job title, how you're involved with Crosswires.
I am the festival director. The voice is going, so I've been working very hard all weekend putting this together.
Tell me about what your role involves then. Festival director, what have you been doing up to and including this weekend?
So I think the big thing we always look at is the venue, the iconic venues we use in Sheffield. So we've got City Hall, Crucible, but also we always want to create an element that is just a little bit different and more inclusive. So this year we took on the old Coles Brothers building, and it was kind of converting that space into a podcast venue and kind of a social space for people to meet. Very much about the public, the audience facing. So setting up that and also giving the opportunity not only for those paid events within those iconic venues, but creating a fringe. And this year we're really lucky to have the BBC come on board. They're curating the fringe, which has been brilliant. So it's kind of piecing those bits together to make it work and to make sure there's a variety of show of podcasts on that kind of everyone wants to go to and make sure everyone feels like they're invited to as well. So I think that fringe element, but also we took on a new space this year, Leah's Yard, where we did kind of, it was always my idea to create a bit of a soapbox idea, but curated through podcasting and storytelling. It doesn't even necessarily have to be the podcast, it's almost the beginnings of it. It's basically, again, just piecing all of that together over the year and how it works. And it's been wonderful working with everyone, so working closely with Sheffield City Council, Urban Splash, who now have taken over the building, and Simca, to kind of make this work. It's something that, it's a passion project, not only for Crosswires, but for the whole city.
And the branding's really striking. I just went out the other side of Leah's Yard and just took a picture, because I feel like everywhere I turn, every corner I turn, there's some Crosswires posters. It feels like it's the talk of the city.
Yeah, a wonderful, wonderful designer, Nick. We work so closely together. Again, it comes from a place of passion. It's not kind of just bringing someone in and saying, this is what we want. He took on our idea, well, Alice, James and Dino's idea, and created something that suited a new event. No one's done this kind of audience-facing podcast festival before, and we wanted to make it fun. And I think Nick just took that and made it incredible. And then we blasted that across the city, and it looks phenomenal. Like, I'm so proud of all his work.
I will let you rest your voice,
Thank
Hannah, because we've got a whole other day tonight and tomorrow to go. Sunday morning, Crosswires, and I am with one of the volunteers. What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Meg, and I'm from the University of Sheffield.
And what course are you doing there?
So I'm doing my Master's in Broadcast Journalism at the minute.
And what made you want to volunteer for Crosswires?
So we actually all got sent out an email that Crosswires sent us, basically asking if any of us wanted to volunteer. So me and a lot of my course mates all signed up as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's really good that we've all got the experience in podcasting, like, from the course. So to be able to see and experience, like, it in real life is really cool. We've got loads of podcast guests that we're able to meet and just, like, interact with members of the public, able to help them and just get some more experience in the field.
And what have you been doing on the info point? What kind of stuff have you been having to do this weekend?
Yeah, so I've been mainly on the info and merch point, and we've been selling some merch for the festival. And yeah, just any questions that the public have, we're able to answer them. So we all kind of got trained up and stuff like that, so we're able to give the right information about all of the different events we've got going on.
What kind of merch have you got going on?
So we've got some tote bags and some t-shirts in black and white. I'm actually wearing one right now.
Modelling one beautifully.
Yes, yeah, and yeah, we've sold quite a few, so it's good. Everyone's really excited.
Where did you come from to come to university here at Sheffield, and what made you want to come to the University of Sheffield?
I came from Leicestershire, and I did my undergrad at Nottingham, but I came to Sheffield mainly because I've got family here, and I just really like the city as well. I think, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities, and I think the course is really good as well, and the opportunities are really good in Sheffield as well.
Like this. And what's the next step for you, Meg, once you've graduated? Oh, sorry, I've just asked you that. She just clutched her head and went, no, ask me that.
I don't know. For me, I think I've gained such good experience from this festival, and I think just kind of getting these little experiences in different industries is really good, and then I can just all figure it out from there. I definitely want to go into broadcasting and radio and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been good to speak to people and have good connections and conversations about it.
After chatting to Meg, I went to chill out with the Radio 3 Unwind Your Mind session. There I met mindfulness teacher and Radio 3 Unwind presenter Niall Breslin and BBC Science presenter Caroline Steele for an immersive experience that harnessed the power of music and mindfulness. We've just watched a fantastic session, Radio 3 Unwind, with Caroline and Niall.
Mm-hmm.
And the music was beautiful. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I wrote the album about over the last 2 years. I was kind of struggling to work with certain people. We're finding meditation and mindfulness really difficult, and I actually only wrote for them originally. And then I put the album together. I'm going to release it in October, I think. And I think I find it probably the best vehicle to help people be present in the absolute chaos of the modern world. It really is chaotic. So I've studied mindfulness for 12 years. I've been a musician for 30 years. So I thought, why not put the two of them together?
I think it was perfect for what we all needed on a Sunday morning.
Good. Well, I'm delighted to come here. There's a few people asleep in the back there. It's funny because then you're thinking, like, Sunday morning, everyone's going to be either hanging or, like, you know, it's too early. And no, it was lovely. It was exactly what you want. It's just, I think the other thing with mindfulness is it's got a diluted name. People don't know what it is. They find it overwhelming because the modern world and our culture has become just so fast, so intense, that it just feels frazzling for people. So when you actually say to people, you don't need to keep up all the time, and you have to kind of allow them to say that, you know, you can get off the juggernaut. It doesn't mean you're going to slow down or not be successful or ambitious. It just means you know how to rest. I think rest is something I'm a huge fan of.
And Caroline, you look at the science behind things like mindfulness.
I sort of, when I first heard about mindfulness or gave it a go, maybe, I don't know, a decade ago, was quite sceptical. And to be honest, the research into mindfulness, the kind of concrete science, scientific evidence, is more recent, but there is a lot there. You know, it's been shown that mindfulness can lower your levels of the stress hormone cortisol, it can improve people's sleep, it can improve people's mood, and it's been studied in quite an intense scientific way. You know, people have been put in MRI scanners before and after practicing mindfulness. So yeah, the research really is there. If you can be patient and stick with it, you can see a whole host of benefits that don't involve taking a pill, which I think is pretty powerful.
Yeah. I'm doing a podcast about a podcast festival, so this is very audio-based. And obviously, this is what you were talking about today, the sounds, audio, to help us relax. What would be your biggest kind of tip for everyone to use audio, particularly if you work in the audio industry and you want to try and de-stress?
Well, it's the intimacy of audio will never be created. Like, the thing about audio is it allows you to create your own visualization. It allows you, you know, we all got mad heads and we got our own ways of looking at things and viewing things. And when you actually present a mood for somebody through audio, then they can do with that mood what they wish. And if that's visualizing or finding some peace, it's really, really important. I even through COVID, like, my two best friends were radio presenters. So all I listened to was radio because I felt like I was in a room with them. And I was kind of lonely in COVID because I was at home, a cocoon of my parents, who were a wonderful relationship, but I needed to be around friends. So I'd listen to them for 3 hours every morning, like I was in the room with them. And I'd even text them when they're on the show, like they were my mates. And that was actually hugely comforting. And I think audio found its real feet in COVID. I think it was the saviour, because people couldn't make television as much, but we could all make audio. So I think anyone who's in audio is in, you know, has a real, almost a duty of care to provide solace and comfort for people in a crazy world. What I love about audio is how fast it is. I've worked on TV and it's slow. We've got to do that shot again. We've got to set up that shot. It takes 12 hours. I'm like, no, I don't do that anymore. I love the speed of audio. I love that you can jump on something straight away. You go, I want to talk about this now, today. I don't have to wait 14 years for a commissioning to do this. That's an exciting, dynamic industry. And I think now more and more you're seeing phenomenal people in the industry coming to the industry.
The best pitches are on radio. That's what they say, isn't it, Caroline?
Yeah, 100%. I think you can do so much more with audio than you would think. Like, you can really paint a picture. You can really bring something to life. Part of the reason why we love podcasts so much is it is like having a friend in your ear, right? There is a level of intimacy that you don't quite get with TV. And I think the fact that you can sort of go about almost every aspect of your life while listening to something, you know, you can be cleaning, you can be cooking, you can be commuting. So it's sort of more accessible in a way than television is. And I think, yeah, that's part of why it's so powerful.
Lastly, I met up with festival founders Alice Levine and Dino Sofis, and we took a stroll through Sheffield past some of the iconic venues that had been used for Crosswires that weekend. And they told me about how the festival has grown and what they learned since last year. We're at Leah's Yard. I'm with Dino and Alice. We are going to walk down to the Crucible.
Yeah, so we're stood at the moment in Leah's Yard where our pop-up stage is, which is our kind of chalkboard of many voices. People can sign up and do a show. So we've got everything at Crosswires, from these little, you know, fledgling shows with lovely communities of their own, to these absolute blockbusters that we've got on at City Hall and at the Crucible, and also all of our free shows that we're going to walk past just now over at Coles, which is our free fringe venue.
Yeah, because last year we obviously had lots of big names, and some of the feedback that we had was from local podcasters in South Yorkshire who really wanted a platform. And so we, as Alice says, we sort of put our heads together and we thought, how can we do that? Because obviously, if you're a new podcaster, you can't sell tickets at the Crucible or the City Hall. It just doesn't work. Yeah. So we found a way to put on a free stage at Leah's, which is also where I have my Persephonica office as well. So it ties in nicely.
And the bookshop's there as well. So if there have been authors, they've been doing signings there. So that ties in as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We had Sarah Cox and Dave Nichols doing Radio 2 Book Club at the Fringe, and then Dave Nichols came across and there was a queue going down the street for him.
Yeah.
So Alex, who runs the bookshop, was very pleased. And actually, it's amazing how many authors are here. We've got Gabriel Gatehouse, we had Adam Fleming, there's loads of people who've got books, so it's just really
Michael
lovely.
Palin books were there as well, yes. Greg's books.
Well, actually, on the launch party, Michael Palin beelined straight for the bookshop, and he spent about half an hour in there talking to Alex.
So we are outside Cole Brothers now with Alice and Dino. There's been lots of people just want to go and have a nose because it's such an iconic old department store in Sheffield.
Yes, so it used to be John Lewis. A lot of people who live in the area will remember it as that, will have got their school shoes there or their wedding suits, all have been dragged there in there by their mum or dad on a Saturday afternoon. We all know the feeling. But I think there's a lot of affection for it, and also there's been a lot of sort of desire to see its doors open again. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. People have been really intrigued. Yeah. And everybody who knows it has just said it's so nice to see it sparkling again. Yeah. And sparkling is the word I would use, mainly because Dino and I washed the windows on Thursday night as we were getting ready for everything. So microcloths were out. It feels really buzzy. So it's kind of all day long into the night, the venue's full. We've had after parties there, DJ sets, and then all the shows that are in there are completely free. And it's been a really jam packed schedule. I can't think of a festival in the early years that's offering this many free shows. I mean, obviously, have to thank BBC Sounds for partnering with us on that.
So we've got Paulette Edwards from Radio Sheffield, who's been the compere for the whole weekend.
Incredible.
So
she's incredible.
Brilliant.
I caught a word with her. She's great.
She's fantastic. Anyway, I bumped into her this morning because she's seen so much. And she said, Dino, Sheffield is shaking. She said, it's been such a buzz. The square, as Alice says, in between Cole Brothers and the City Hall, which is our main venue, just having this little zone where people are congregating. Yesterday they were drinking in the sunshine, they're having a posh kebab or an ice cream. We've got a Guinness bar. It's been brilliant. Everyone was just gathering and just dipping in and out of shows, and it felt really inclusive. There was something for everyone, whether it's a kids and family show, whether it's unwind your mind, doing kind of meditation and piano this morning.
I'm so chilled.
but yesterday we went from Greg and Michael Palin doing a kind of Radio 4 archive show at sort of midday, fast forward midnight, and it was Nathan Shepherd from Six Music was doing an indie disco.
Yeah.
And we had queues around the block, queues down the bar, and it was going off in there last night.
I can't tell you the feeling of watching the doors of the City Hall open after Help I Sexted My Boss had ended, and there was this flow of people, 2,200 people in there, that flowed through the square directly into the doors of our Fringe venue, and I was genuinely overwhelmed. I sort of stood back. I was like, I don't think they're going to stop.
You're not going to get 2,000 people.
We just suddenly had James, who runs the festival with us, was going, tell security to hold the doors. So we let in 50 man the bars.
And
we had three bar staff on last night, bless them. But it was great.
So yeah, we are outside City Hall now. That, like you say, was the venue for Help I Sexed My Boss. That went off, didn't it?
It went off. So they are now, they're rock stars, okay?
Yeah.
You don't understand, they're rock stars. People in town, Dino described as Beatlemania. Like, people were like fainting in front of them. And there was a proposal at the show.
Yeah.
Incredible. And they were down in the audience from the get-go. They'd been building for weeks this idea that they would be in Sheffield. There was this sort of in-joke that they were running about William. And so they'd really hyped it, you know? This wasn't a kind of, oh, we're nipping in because it's on our tour route. This is the only show they're doing this year, and they were so enthusiastic about it. And obviously I know Jordan from Radio 1 days. It's just so brilliant that people want to come and do this. They could basically do any venue anywhere, you know. They're as big as it gets, and so to have them here was a real treat.
We've just been past the BBC Sounds Garden. I spent quite a lot of time there yesterday, chilling in the sun and talking to the volunteers. That's a lovely area as well, isn't it, Dino?
It's great, and it's so striking because we've got these big orange BBC Sounds shipping containers and deck chairs, and you can't miss it. If you're walking from any direction in town, you just see these big orange boxes.
We should talk about the volunteers.
Oh yeah,
they've been phenomenal all weekend, and they've been helping me and the students too, manning your merch stand.
Well, that's it. Most of the volunteers are students of one shape or form from the university or colleges in South Yorkshire. I think that's one of the reasons that we wanted to do it in Sheffield, because people like that who are studying here or living here don't often get to kind of hang out with Greg James or Charlie Hedges or Michael Palin.
That's what they were saying, the opportunities.
So that's the whole point, really, is we're creating the opportunity for people to get an entry point into the media, because they start here and then they can put that on their CV. I mean, last year, actually, we were talking this time last year, Georgie, or it was in May last year, wasn't it? But last year, one of our volunteers, Kaylin, had a chat with me the Monday after Crosswires, saying, oh, I really enjoyed it. I was about to leave Sheffield to move back to Ireland. And I said, well, hang on a second, why didn't you come in and do some work experience? And he's now employed as an assistant producer at Persephonica. And he's working on Lily Allen's show and Dua Lipa's show. So we've been able to give people real job opportunities out of last year's festival.
That's amazing. That's so good. We're crossing the square now. Nowhere's very far in Sheffield. That's one of the things I love about Sheffield.
It's so true, isn't it?
It really is.
And that's actually part of... I mean, it's a huge part, actually, of what we thought about when we were planning the footprint of the show. We wanted it to be in iconic venues. We wanted to take over the city. And I think other places wouldn't have this genuine feeling of being able to bob between venues. I suppose in our mind, we had this kind of Edinburgh fringe feel. And I think there's something really, really special about being able to go to a free show, then planning your nighttime activity, then going for a drink in the square. Like, you really can make a weekend of it. And we've bumped into some people this weekend who not only have come from places that you might imagine, like Leeds and Manchester and London. Somebody flew in from Germany. They said they had a connecting flight via Frankfurt, but they were from somewhere even further away. Somebody from the Netherlands, from the US. Like, people are really intrigued and excited about it. And I think last year was, you know, I wonder if you'd agree, you know, like a bit of an experiment to see, like, if this was the right thing and if it would land with people.
Well, I think you described it really well, Alice, which is yesterday you said, last year we had a festival name and a poster and we booked some acts and that was it. but you basically build it and hope they will come, and they did, but there's still last year there was a bit of curiosity of, like, oh, what's all this about? So last year we established it in a small way. And this year, it feels like it's just grown exponentially. And that's the amount of people buying tickets, the amount of shows we're programming, and the amount of stuff around the edges. But look, we're just at the start of this journey here. You know, we've got 3 kids' shows this weekend that have all been packed out. And the feedback from all the parents is, we want a kids' stage next year. We want a whole weekend. It's a lot of trial and error and seeing what there's real hunger for. The other thing I'd say as well is just what's helped it really grow this year is the involvement of BBC Sounds. We had a couple of guys from BBC Sounds up last year, and they reported back to the big bosses and they said, we want to get involved in a big way. So we said, well, why don't you partner with us on the fringe and bring BBC Sounds to Coal Brothers? So we've been working for best part of a year with them on that, and they've brought some of their biggest podcasts, radio shows and stars, you know, Frank Skinner, yeah, Russell Kane, Sarah Cox. Newscast was packed. There were, you know, standing room only at Newscast. Chris Mason, in one of the busiest political weeks of the year, was, you know, in Sheffield Friday morning, yeah, and it was great. So
government reshuffle or Crosswires, yeah, you've got to make the call.
He said that, actually. He said, I really need to be in 2 places at once.
But without that, them, it wouldn't feel as big. So our message to all the industry, and we've had support from Apple in different ways, you know, Apple putting us on the front page of Apple podcasts, all of that stuff just really helps grow Crosswires and gets it in front of people and gets people hearing about it. Our doors open, so if you're working at, you know, one of the big podcast platforms or production companies, like Audio Always have brought 4 of their shows here this year, and they've all been packed. So we want to work with everybody across the audio industry to really create what, you know, Danny Robbins last year called the Glastonbury of podcasts. You might call it the Edinburgh Fringe of podcasts. But whatever it is, we've got something really special here. And yeah, we want to grow it next year again.
It has massively grown. I mean, I was here last year. I was very lucky and you invited me and you invited me back this year. And thank you both so much. But I've noticed it's big this year. Yeah. In 1 year, how you've grown it.
The thing is, you have to listen to the audience that are coming to see things, as Dino says. I think that really helped. And also the acts as well, you know, everybody that joined us last year, it was a leap of faith. And hiya, this is Dino's daughter who's been giving out stickers and helping with all the kids' shows.
Yeah, this is our star employee. She's been giving out stickers.
We're at the Crucible now.
How have you enjoyed Crosswires? Was it good? What did you go and see?
Science show.
Did you see the science show? And did you see anybody yesterday? Did you sing any songs with anyone?
Did you see Nick Cope?
Nick Cope.
Yeah.
Lizard on a Rock. Yeah, it just feels like you can come as a family. We've had people come as their kind of little long weekend. And I think that's why it's grown, because we've listened to people. Yeah. And so we've used that as a bit of market research, and we've kind of added the things that maybe we were missing last year. And we've already started booking next year, so it's going to be even bigger.
A massive thank you to everyone at Crosswires and Carver PR for all their help at the festival and making me so welcome. Keep an eye on their website, crosswires.live, for 2026. And there'll be more from Crosswires later on in the summer, when you can hear some previously unheard audio and best bits from the festival in one of our Summer Shorts podcasts. 30 Under 30 applications are now open. If you want to nominate someone or yourself, head to radioacademy.org and you'll see details on our front page. And keep an eye on our YouTube channel, because if you missed the 30 Under 30 webinar, then you'll be able to catch up on it very soon. Next week, our episode is all about 30 Under 30, with highlights from the webinar and a chat with Ricky Lee from our sponsors AIR about what the scheme has meant to him and his company. I'll see you next week.